Welcome to Clippings, the official podcast of the Council for Nail Disorders, where Drs. April Schachtel and Catherine Stiff take a closer look at articles and clippings published on all things nail disease. Listeners can suggest articles for this podcast or topics of discussion by sending an email to kristen.cnd@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, and welcome to episode 39 of the Clippings podcast, where we review nail papers and share them with you. I'm April Schachtel, and I'm joined by my co-host, Catherine Stiff.
Hello, April.
All right. Today, I'll be sharing with you an article about fosravuconazole titled Effects of Additional Oral Fosravuconazole L-Lysine Ethanolate Therapy Following Inadequate Response to Initial Treatment for Onychomycosis, a Multicenter Randomized Controlled Trial. The authors are Wataru Naka and Yuichiro Tsunemi from the Naka Dermatology Clinic and the Department of Dermatology at Saitama Medical University Hospital, both in Saitama, Japan. This study was founded by Seito Pharmaceuticals and was published in the Journal of Dermatology in February of 2024. I have been watching the literature on fosravuconazole closely, as this is an antifungal that's been approved for onychomycosis in Japan since 2018, and it looks really promising, but we don't have it here yet in the United States. The medication is a prodrug of ravuconazole, which is an azole medication with potent antifungal activity and few drug-drug interactions. By converting it to the prodrug, it improves the drug pharmacokinetics and leads to an increased bioavailability, thought to be 100% following oral administration. Because of this, the plasma concentration of medication is 10 to 35 times higher than that of existing oral antifungals, and it has been confirmed to migrate well to the skin and nails and to be retained in these tissues. A previous study showed high efficacy with a complete cure rate of 59.4% observed 48 weeks after initiating the 12 weeks daily dosing. So this clinical study looked at adding additional medication for patients who had an inadequate response to the initial therapy. This was a large multicenter open label three-arm randomized clinical trial. 294 patients with distal lateral subungual onychomycosis of the left or right or both great toenails with more than 50% involvement received 12 weeks of the fosravuconazole, and their nails were evaluated at week 24. If they experienced over 55% improvement, then they were just followed. And if they had experienced less than 55% improvement, they were predicted to be unlikely to experience a complete cure, and they were randomly assigned into two groups. One of them was observation only. The other was additional treatment with the fosravuconazole once a day for an additional 12 weeks, and then patients were observed for up to 48 weeks after the randomization. As for the results, the first group was group X, the group that had favorable efficacy with over 55% improvement at week 24. This group had a complete cure rate at week 72 of 73%, which is great for onychomycosis, complete cure. Group A was the follow-up group, which had not improved significantly at week 24 and then did not receive any additional medication, and they had a much lower cure rate of 29% at week 72. Finally, group B, which did receive the additional treatment after having an incomplete initial response at week 24, had a complete cure rate of 46% at week 72. This obviously did show a statistically significant difference in the cure rates between the groups. So the group that had already improved significantly at week 24 went on to have a very good cure rate. And then there was a big difference in the group that did not receive additional treatment versus the group that did. The group that did receive the additional treatment had a complete cure rate that was in between the two groups of the other, but certainly improved from the group that received no additional medication. A safety analysis was conducted and concluded that adverse drug reactions were present in 18% of the patients, and this was mostly abnormal liver function tests. Of the 49 patients with abnormal liver function tests, 30 of them were changes only in GGT. All of those patients recovered except one who was lost to follow-up, and the rate of the drug reactions did not increase with receiving additional treatment. So ultimately, they found that this additional treatment was effective for patients with onychomycosis who didn't respond adequately to the initial treatment. They also found that the percentage of the decrease in involvement ratio at week 24 after starting treatment was a helpful measure for deciding whether the patient should undergo additional treatment or not. They did not measure drug concentration in nails, so it's unclear how the extra treatment works, whether it's due to maybe the patient had slow-growing nails that just needed to be exposed to treatment for longer, or maybe the dermatophyte had partial resistance or some other mechanism. Unfortunately, I couldn't find any up-to-date information on the process of FDA approval for fosravuconazole, but I do hope we have it as an option for onychomycosis in the United States soon.
Yes, I agree. It would be great to have another treatment option in our arsenal for onychomycosis.
Definitely agree. All right, Catherine, what did you read about this week?
Okay, I chose an article titled Total Chemical Matrixectomy with 88% Phenol, a prospective case series of 37 patients by Doctors Matter et al., be published in the Journal of Dermatologic Surgery on February 28th, 2024. As we know, nail dystrophies can be congenital, acquired, or traumatic and may lead to significant discomfort. Conservative treatments include chemical or mechanical periodic debridement. Traditional surgical methods can be invasive and lead to a painful postoperative period. Partial chemical matrixectomies with 88% phenol are already being used for lateral ingrown toenails. And the authors describe their results using a total chemical matrixectomy with 88% phenol to treat definitive nail dystrophies. 48 surgeries were performed in 37 patients aged 48 to 78 years old. Most cases involved the toenails. 65% of patients had associated comorbid conditions. Diagnoses included onychogryphosis and transverse overcurvature of the nail plate, such as pincer nails. The procedure involved a distal digital wing block followed by tourniquet placement. The nail plate was avulsed and gentle curettage was performed on the nail matrix and bed. Cotton swabs were dipped into 88% phenol and rubbed vigorously onto the entire nail matrix and bed for 1 minute with care to avoid contact with surrounding skin. The tourniquet was removed, the surgical site flushed with alcohol, and a pressure dressing was applied and left in place for 48 hours. Pain, cosmetic satisfaction, and ability to wear closed shoes were evaluated at baseline and at 12 months. There was only one case of a superficial wound infection, which improved with systemic antibiotic. There were five cases, which is 10% of recurrence. All patients were reoperated using the same technique with no recurrence after the second procedure. 12 months after the procedure, 92% of patients had no pain, and the other 8% only had mild pain. And 92% reported the procedure was cosmetically acceptable. In addition, after 12 months, nearly all patients had no interference with wearing shoes. So, in conclusion, this was a safe and effective treatment for nail dystrophies of various etiologies. It was well tolerated, had low recurrence, and acceptable cosmetic results. And it's particularly useful for patients with comorbidities such as diabetes and vascular insufficiency, who may have poor wound healing with more traditional surgical approaches.
This is great. I've had a lot of patients ask me about this treatment, and so now we have some nice photos. And I have seen a few patients who've had it as well from a variety of providers, and I agree they tend to be pretty happy with it. And as long as the patient understands well what they're getting into, I think it's a really good option. All right. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Clippings. I want to thank our listeners for their attention. Please share this podcast with your colleagues and trainees. Let us know how we're doing and which articles you'd like us to review on the show by contacting kristen.cnd@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at naildisorders.